So far, we have seen, so we could just move on as time is going. So far, we have seen that the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, a perfect man. We have seen him being led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And we have some clarification of what it means. Every believer has the Spirit of God in him. This is something you get when you believe. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. So you have the Spirit of God. But the question to you and I, do we live by the Spirit of God? Are we full by the Spirit of God? This is the challenge, the admonition to each and every one of us. Now, as being led by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus goes into the wilderness, the desert. We have heard what desert is. It is how you perceive it. When Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, he saw it as the garden of the Lord, as the land of Egypt. He thought that's the most wonderful place. Abraham looked at Sodom and Gomorrah a chapter later, and he saw the smoke of it going up to heaven. This is how you and I are going to view the world. We have heard that this desert we're talking about is the world. The people of the world look at this and said, it's wonderful. We could have a lot of fun, it's a lot of activity, it's a wonderful place. A believer look at it and said, it's desert. There is nothing to sustain my soul in it. And for 40 days, the Lord Jesus was being tested by the devil. And now the devil, in the end of these 40 days, brings a heavy artillery. He is bringing his big guns now. And these are the three things that you and I are going to face. And the first one, as we said, hunger. He was hungry. Now this is being a man. This is something of being a man. The humanity, you get hungry. There is nothing wrong with being hungry. Just it's being part of being a man. But now the devil comes at that. Food. There's nothing wrong with food. It's a legitimate thing. Everybody has to eat. But here's the devil comes in. Take that which is legitimate. And then ask the question. If thou be the Son of God, turn not the stones. Now in Matthew you might find the stones. But here it's a stone. Something for yourself. Just that stone. Something for yourself. Because again, in the Gospel of Luke, it's the moral order. It is the perfection of the man. He said, turn that stone, that very same stone. Make a loaf for yourself. Feed yourself. If thou be the Son of God. Now the Lord Jesus answered him as a man. Not what the Son of God should live by. He knows that. But what a man should. Because again, he is bringing for us the example of that. So let's talk about the first one, the first big gun that's coming in, that attack a legitimate thing, being hungry, in need of something. As human, we have need of something because we were created this way. And the world will take that legitimate things and turn it around into sin. Look how the Lord Jesus have handled that first attack.
Yeah, just to add, and I think it would bring this forward that you're saying also, Emil, but I was just thinking, what kind of man is being tested here? And I think we need to appreciate the kind of man. It's not the independent man, it's the dependent man, what we get in Psalm 16. The independent man had been tested for 4,000 years, and what happened? Abject failure. What we have before us is the dependent man, and in every circumstance tested, completely proven to be the true dependent man.
I'd just like to add, in speaking about the Lord Jesus as being full of the Holy Spirit, we didn't really explicitly mention this, but he was obviously empty of self. I mean, brothers can correct me, not in terms of, we know he didn't let go of anything that he always was as being God, but his self-concern, his looking after his own interests, that was not something that was in the Lord Jesus. So even when it came to food, something that is necessary for the body, he would rather depend on God to provide it rather than seek after it in the energy of, you know, that self-seeking interest. And I think that's what again, Philippians 2, when it says, being in the form of God, did not esteem robbery to be equal with God, but that would be translated, emptied himself, not of his essence, not of his deity, or anything like that, but his self-seeking. He would rather have God's will be done rather than look after what it is that he needs and he wants.
You might say, Brother Sammy, is really what you are talking about is the verse in Romans 15, Christ Jesus pleased not himself. He was here for the pleasure of God. So as we move in this portion that is before us, it's interesting when they were finished. So it is the last day, if you will, of these 40 days. And he brings the heaviest dose to the Lord. And the Lord, I certainly believe, wanted to face this temptation when he is truly hungry, to show forth that this is the way man ought to face the enemy, even in their weakest point. And how does Satan come in? Speak to the stone. You know, we have heard that he's tempting him in that way. He said, if thou art the Son of God, speak to the stone. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I have no question in my mind that Satan was acquainted with this one as the creator who spoke and it was done, commanded and it stood still. But now Satan thought, well, I know who he is in his person, but as a man, I can let him fall like I did with Adam. So he tempted the Lord Jesus in that way. He didn't know that there was nothing in Christ to respond to these temptations. But how did the Lord Jesus respond back to him? You know what? We have heard who he is. The only one who has right to add to the scripture is the Lord Jesus. Because what? He is God. He can add to the scripture. He can come up with his own words. But brethren, he is setting an example for the saints. That if there is any response to Satan from the saints of God, it has to be based on the word of God. And brethren, the exhortation for us, we have to acquaint ourselves with the scripture. Young people and old people, we have to read the scripture. And we have to acquaint ourselves with the word of God to be able to respond and to face every temptation that the enemy will bring upon us. And the Lord Jesus, the first one he brings is the word of God. You know why? Because when Satan approached Eve, he says, did God say? Where Satan started to bring the disaster upon mankind, the Lord Jesus took it up first. And he said, by every word of God.
I think it needs to be re-emphasized. I want to follow that comment.
Go ahead.
Let us never think, when we see the Lord, that it was to see if there was anything in him that would fall. It was not that. This is what many in Christendom teach today. It was to see if he what? No. It was to show us that there was nothing there to respond to Satan. There was nothing there. He was perfect in that aspect. And we just need to set that before us. I want to say again, too. He still uses this same error today. He casts doubt on the word of God. Young person, older one, remember, his tactics don't change. If he can get you and I to doubt that Scripture means what Scripture says, he's won a tremendous battle that'll cause us so much difficulty. If thou be the Son of God, he said, do this. What a magnificent response as I see this blessed man. His response, Jesus answered him saying, it is written.
I wonder if we might take it. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
I was just going to mention that this is one of Satan's tactics, to doubt the word of God. But also, in each of the cases that we're going to look at, he begins with that word, if. And he challenges the Lord Jesus about who he is and how he is going to meet his need. If. And young person, believe me, Satan will always challenge what God has said. He will always challenge you in your own personal walk and question even if you are the Lord's. Well, if you're a Christian, or if this, or if that, these are not the questions, but they're the ones that Satan would tempt with.
Satan not only wants to see failure in the saints who are in Christ, but he wants us to curse God in the process. When the hedge was taken away from Job, as God permitted, Satan said to Job, curse God and die. So when providence begins to get holes in it for us and things begin to disappear, the flesh can come to the point where it will curse God under dire circumstances. That's a terrible thing. The Lord Jesus was always blessed. He was the blesser.